to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
We'll start with a question, like we often do. What do you do to remember important things? What do you do to remember important things? It used to be the old days, some of you may not even remember this, they say, well, tie a string around your finger. That's a long time ago. You know, once somebody invented sticky notes, strings around the finger were not necessary anymore. Sticky notes are a great way to remind you. You write it on that sticky note, you stick it someplace, whether it's on your mirror, in the car, whatever, wherever it's going to, you're going to see it when you need to remember, and then it'll help you. Sometimes people, I know my wife likes to just take pictures of things. Oh, I've got to remember this piece of information or that or whatever and take a picture of it. Sometimes people set an alarm on their phone if there's a certain time during the day that you've got to do something or call someone or whatever. Lots of different things that we can do to remind ourselves. And I want to tell you something. I have to remember so much stuff. I would be in trouble if I didn't have my own system. And I use a combination of all these things. I use sticky notes. Sometimes I take pictures. I set alarms. But my big thing is I keep lists. You know, I'm not tied to, but I use my phone, my tablet, my computer. Got all these things I got to do with the church and with people and with at home and personal and all that kind of stuff. So I put it on my list. And I go through my list regularly. Okay, am I remembering everything? Am I remembering everything? Every once in a while, something falls off my list and I'm in trouble. Just yesterday, I was sitting over in the office and I got here about 8:30. I'm sitting there doing some things and about 9 o'clock, I hear the door open and in comes Elder Lynn and Elder Norris. And I said, well, what can I do for you guys this morning? They said, did you forget we have elder prayer this morning? And I'm like, yeah. First time ever, you know. I won't say that they've ever forgotten. But yeah, first time ever I've ever forgotten. And I even reminded them on Tuesday and I think on Wednesday night. Don't forget, we got prayer on Saturday. You know, we need to remember things. There's nothing more frustrating than forgetting something, especially something very, very important. Here's what I hate. And everybody I talk to, they say, I do that same thing. You've got something you don't need right now, but it's very important. So you put it in a very specific place saying, I know that I won't forget it if I put it here. And then whether it's an hour later, a day later, a week later, it's like, okay, I need that thing. And it's like, where did I put it? I remember I put it exactly where I knew I wouldn't forget. But now I've forgotten. So anyway, maybe you don't have that much you need to remember. Maybe you do, but you probably have your own systems, either that or you're just used to suffering. I don't know. But we're going to be talking about a different kind of remembering today. The title of my message today is Remember the Lord Your God. Remember the Lord Your God. And the opposite is that don't forget Him. You say, what in the world does it mean to forget God? How could I forget God? I know about God. We'll get to that. But we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8 in just a moment. But the background to this passage, just real quick overview. The book of Deuteronomy is basically an account of a number of speeches that God gave through Moses to his people. And they were given at the end of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, they were never intended to wander 40 years in the wilderness. God delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt, and his plan was to take them to Mount Sinai, which is what they did, where he would meet with them, and they would establish the foundation of their relationship, that he was their God. He was the God, but he wanted to be their God, and he would take care of them. He had delivered them. He'd done miraculous things to deliver them and to provide for them, to get them to that place. He says, I will continue to do that, and I'm going to take you into a land where you are going to be blessed and prosperous way beyond you could ever imagine. But if we're going to have a relationship, then we need to have a relationship. If I'm going to be your God, I need to be your God. And he laid out for them a number of rules and regulations and principles for them as a people on how they could live their life and they could experience that blessing and that prosperity and all that kind of right and wrong, many moral issues, but also some issues that just had to do with their nation and their relationship with God. And God's intent was that they would have such a wonderful relationship. His people lovingly serving Him and obeying Him and living that life that He says this is the best way to live, then God would bless them and other nations would say, their God is the God I want to serve. And that the whole world would eventually look to Him and say, we want to serve the true and living God rather than these idols and these fickle gods that other nations and other cultures had. But unfortunately, many times God's people messed up. And that was true of their whole history. The good news is God never gave up on them. He always welcomed them back when they came back to Him. He always called them back to Himself. But long story short, they're at Mount Sinai. They do all that stuff. He says, okay, it's time to go to the Promised Land. They start going to the Promised Land. And God says, okay, go on in. I'm going to take you in. I'm going to get you settled. And they sent some spies to go check it out. And the spies came back. And they said, you know, everything God says is true. It's a beautiful land. It's prosperous. The vegetation is abundant. There's lots of grazing for our flocks and our herds and this, that, and the other. It's exactly what God said, but we can't go in. The people are too strong. We can't defeat them. There's just no way we can do it. And God had said, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to make it happen. And they chose not to believe God. And because of that, God says, okay, you don't want to go in, you won't. So for 40 years, you're going to wander around the desert, the wilderness area. I'm going to take care of you. But when you guys are all gone, your kids can go in. And that's basically what happened. A little lesson there that's not specifically related to our sermon today is that, you know what? God never gives up on us. We make mistakes. We make choices to rebel against Him. But if we come back to Him, God accepts us and God is willing to take care of us and help us. But sometimes, not always, but sometimes the circumstances that we face in life that we dislike so much, we brought on ourselves. A lot of times it's not. Sometimes we face very difficult circumstances in life because we live in a sinful, fallen world. And because the people around us are making mistakes and we kind of get caught up in the backwash, you know? But the point is that God never gave up on them. He took care of them. And so now that whole generation has died out. Their children have grown up. They're ready to go into the Promised Land. And so Moses again gives them a number of speeches basically to remind them of what they've been through, to remind them of God's goodness, to remind them of the relationship they're to have with God, and also to remind them of the goodness God has for them as they enter the Promised Land. And that's where we pick it up here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read the whole chapter. And so let's go through it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you, and He let you hunger, and then He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing didn't wear out. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So he's saying, you know, you had to go through the wilderness because of your sins, rejection of me and my provision and my willingness and my desire to take them into the Promised Land. But it wasn't just a punishment. It wasn't just a discipline. It wasn't that kind of, it was to purify you. It was to test you. It was to discipline you. It was to make you stronger. And you went through a lot, and I provided everything you needed, and it accomplished its work. Verse 6, so you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in His ways and by fearing Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Goes on in verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that your Lord makes to perish before you. So shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And so God is telling them, listen, it was my goal all along to take you into this wonderful land. I made the promise way back to your ancestors, starting with Abraham. And we started off well, but then your parents rejected my plan, and now you've had the, but now it's time to go in. The land is still there. It's going to be wonderful. Let's go in together, and I'm going to bless you. But once you get there, don't forget me. Don't get so caught up in your own life and think you did it all by yourself that you forget me. And so, again, the title is Remember the Lord Your God. And you probably picked up as we read through the chapter that the word remember is used a couple of times. And do not forget is used even more times. And we find that that's kind of a theme all the way through Deuteronomy. Over 28 times in that whole book, God says, remember, remember, remember where you've come from. Remember how I delivered you. Remember how I provided for you. Remember what I've promised you. And don't forget, don't forget, don't forget my goodness to you. But what does it really mean to, or when God says, don't forget the Lord your God? I mean, how could we forget God? If we're aware of God, if we believe in God, if we believe, at least some people believe in God, how can we even forget that? Well, it's not talking about the sense of totally wiping the concept of God from our minds, so we wake up one morning and we around other people at school or at work and somebody mentions God and you're like, God? Who's God? It's not talking about, you know, just this mind wipe of any kind of concept of God. And it's not talking about forgetting facts about God, like you learn some stuff about God. You know, God is God. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. He's, you know, he's a wonderful God. All these different facts that somehow we've forgotten some facts about him. It's all about treating God as if he doesn't exist. We know he's there. One source that I read, one of the commentaries as I was studying, it says that you know, forgetting God is not so much actually forgetting God and that he exists or facts about him, but acting like he doesn't exist. There's going on in our lives and living it out as if God's not important. Kind of just forgot him, just kind of left him, you know. Maybe you had something like that happen in a relationship, you know, somebody you're really close with, whatever, and it's like they cut you off. A common term, I don't know if it's still popular, is they ghosted you, all right? And it's like, what happened? They just forgot me. I mean, did they literally forget you? Probably not, but they just don't pay you any attention anymore. They're off doing their own thing. You're not part of their life anymore. And that's what God is saying here. Remember the Lord your God. Do not forget him. I think it similar along the lines of how on Veterans Day, we remember our fallen soldiers, those who have served our country. Okay, it's not that we've forgotten them, but we take that special time to be focused, to be looking at and realize how important that is. For a long time, not so much anymore, but there was the whole idea of remembering 9/11, you know, or remembering Martin Luther King Jr. for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. In fact, that's why we have some of our holidays. It's because it's to help us remember. Remember. Remember not the just the person or the event, but the significance. Not just the significance that it had, but the significance that perhaps it should still have in our lives and what that should do for us and in us and maybe even through us. So God says here, remember the Lord your God. Do not forget. How do we do that? What does that mean? It's a number of ways in this passage it mentions two of them in particular. In verse 10, it talks about bless the Lord your God. All right. It's just another word for remember how good he is and worship him and praise him and thank him and be appreciative for all that he has done and not just kind of have it in your heart, but you express that in some way. But something that's mentioned even more in this chapter and all through God's word, it says the best way you can remember God, show him that he's important to you, recognize the goodness that he has put into your life, the things he's delivered you from, the things he's brought you through, the promises he's made to you. The best way you can remember the Lord your God is to love him and to serve him and to live your life for him. And in this passage in particular, it says, and to obey him. I know sometimes there's something, not sometimes, all the time, there's something in our human nature in general of all people obey. I don't want to obey, so I want to do my own thing. You know, how can he, how could that person or whatever, even God demand or ask that I obey them? But once again, going back to what I said in my introduction, God gives us all of these rules and principles and commands. Many of them are for all people of all time, especially all of God's people for all time. Some of them in the Old Testament were just for the Israelites. Some of them were things that Jesus fulfilled, so they're no longer applicable today. But in every single one of them, it's not that God was looking down and saying, people are having way too much fun, let's spoil it. And that's not saying that sin is not fun, because sin is fun. It can be fun. It is pleasure of sin in the season. I heard a preacher say one time, I've said this before, if you're not enjoying sin, you're probably not doing it right. Now, he wasn't condoning it, wasn't saying we should do it. But the point is that we are often drawn by, driven by, compelled by our flesh toward things that may seem good or feel good or seem fun now. And maybe they are fun now, but God knows they're going to destroy us. And that's why he gives us instructions on how to live our life. And that's what God is saying here. The best way you can remember me and not forget me, to keep in mind the relationship that we have or should have or whatever, is follow me. Follow my way of living, because I want to bless you. I want to help you avoid so much stuff in this life. We look at verses 10 and 11, just to kind of repeat that here. He says, you will eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. But take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. I want to take a look at this passage in light of Thanksgiving being this week. You know, the original purpose of Thanksgiving was to take time to give thanks to God. In our culture, for many people, it's not to give thanks to God, it's just time to be thankful. I want to ask, be thankful to who? If not God, you know? Some say, well, I want to be thankful to my family. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want to be thankful for myself because I've done some pretty good things and we've got some stuff. We got a house. We got a good meal, you know, whatever. But the original purpose was to show thankfulness to God because of all his bountiful blessings. And if you're not familiar with the story, it's been a long time. When those pilgrims first celebrated Thanksgiving, it wasn't because everything had been so wonderful ever since they came to the country. In fact, things had been pretty terrible in many ways. But yet they recognized that God was with them all through it because they served God, and that he had helped them in the difficulty, and that even in the midst of the difficulty and the hardships and the things that had happened, that God had shown himself to be faithful, and God had blessed them. Now, when we talk about being thankful, it's a whole lot easier to do when everything's going good, right? You know, I don't know what your Thanksgiving is going to be like this week. I hope, pray, that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving time. Whether you're gathering together with family member or friends, or you've got some other plans, maybe it'll be a small group, maybe it'll be a big group, whatever it is, I hope that whatever that day is like for you as you think about what do I have to be thankful for, that it's very, very special, it's very meaningful, and it's very positive. But I also realize that for some, it may be difficult to be positive about it just because of whatever they or you happen to be going through right now. But I want to propose to you that your experience of Thanksgiving this week And to be honest with you, all of your whole life has a lot to do with your attitude toward what you're living through, to what you're facing, the good and the bad. Because let's be honest, all of life has good and it has bad. Granted, sometimes it seems like the bad is so overwhelming, it's really hard to find the good, or the good seems so small compared to the bad. I'm so thankful for the times that things are going so good that even though this bad thing pops up every once in a while, okay, it's all right, I don't like it, but man, there's so much good in my life. But all of life is a mixture of good and bad. In the midst of the bad, there's some good. In the midst of the good, there's some bad. So I want to give you two main thoughts today for you to take into your heart, to live out this week, and hopefully not just this week, but your whole life. Thoughts that perhaps are not unusual, or it's like, oh, that's brand new, but just for us to be reminded about this week of Thanksgiving. The first one is this, is don't forget God in the bad times. Don't forget God in the bad times. Now, it might be easy to say, you know, if you believe in a God or God, or you have a relationship with God, that's the time I don't forget Him. That's usually when I do turn to God. But you know what? A lot of times when we turn to God in the bad times, it's because we want something from Him. And the good news is that's okay. God wants us to come to Him with our problems. He wants us to come to Him with our issues. He wants us to come to Him with our brokenness and our pain and our difficulty. But if that's all we come to Him for, we're missing out on something that's very significant. We are always welcome to turn to God to ask for help, but we need to come to Him with thanksgiving and gratefulness for the fact that even though we're in bad times, God is still good. God is still good. I think that's one of the reasons why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He doesn't say you have to be thankful for the physical pain or difficulty or disease or issue you're dealing with. He doesn't say you have to be thankful that you're struggling in your relationship with this person or that person. You don't have to be thankful for that. But he's saying there's reason you can be thankful in it. And that's what we've got to get in our minds. Don't forget God in the bad times. Don't forget His goodness. Don't forget the significance of the relationship we can have with Him, even when things aren't going the way we would like them to. Well, why? How can we do that? Let me just mention two things. Number one, God is good to us even in the bad times. In this story we just read, particular to His people that He's just brought through 40 years in the desert, and He talks about all the bad things they faced. The fiery serpents, the desert, sometimes the food sources was a little bit lower and the water sources was a little bit lower and all that kind of stuff. Difficulties that they went through. But He also reiterated to them that even though they went through all those difficult things, He was with them and He provided everything that they needed. You know, He mentions specifically how He fed them with manna. That was that flaky, pastry-like stuff that would show up every day that gave them something to eat. They didn't have to do anything but go out and gather it up. He fed them at times with quail. They'd had meat. You know, he responded with resources they never even knew existed. Supernaturally. He gave them water out of a rock. One time they were getting thirsty. There wasn't enough water. And God says, Moses, strike the rock. And boom, and water just sprang up out of this rock. Again, resources that they needed and needs that need to be met, but in unexpected ways. He said He made sure that their clothes did not wear out for 40 years. Now, I don't know if any of you have any clothes in your closet that are 40 years old and they're still doing okay, but, you know, I mean, but back then, you know, 40 years in the desert and their clothes didn't, their shoes didn't wear out. He protected their feet so their feet, going through the desert all that time, did not swell or have physical problems. He helped them to endure. And you know what? He may not do things for us the exact same way. You know, I don't anticipate going out tomorrow morning and gathering up pastry-like flakes off the ground so I have something to eat for breakfast. I don't anticipate that my water's going to stop running and I'll have to go find a rock that I can smack against something so water will pour out of it. I don't necessarily anticipate that my shoes and my clothes are going to last for the next 40 years. But you know what? God still does all those things for me, and He does for us too as we trust in Him. He responds to our needs with resources sometimes we never even knew existed. He meets our needs in unexpected ways, and He helps us to endure through whatever we're going through. You know, if nothing else, we can, I mean, I know this isn't just a Christian thing or a spiritual thing, it's kind of out there, is we can always focus on the fact that things could always be worse. They're a whole lot better than they could have been. Now, some of you, I'm not trying to minimize at all, some of you may be going through some tough stuff that is so bad, it's like, I can't even imagine how it could be a lot worse. And I get that, I'm not trying to minimize whatever you're facing. But for most of us, things could be a whole lot worse than they are. I came across this letter, I thought this was cool, I gotta read it to you here. It's a letter from a daughter to her mom. She's off at college. She says, "Dear Mom, I'm sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm has been broken. I broke it in my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day, and because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He's been so nice. I must admit that I'm pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine and will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and flunked one of my chemistry tests. I just wanted you to receive that news in proper perspective." Anyway, silly, sure it's not real, but things could always be a whole lot worse. It's all how you look at things. You know, our perspective is so important. Even in the midst of our difficulty, we need to count our blessings. And maybe even especially in the midst of our difficulty, we need to count our blessings. There's so many things we could grumble and whine about, and some people get really good at that. I don't know of any of you that do that, but I don't know. But I came across this list too. It says, "Thank you for dirty dishes, because it means that we have food. Thank you for dirty laundry, because we have clothes. Thank you for taxes," that's a tough one, "because it means I have a job and an income. Thank you for a lawn to mow, because I have a home. Thank you for off-key singers, because that means I can hear. Thank you for the alarm that goes off too early in the morning, because it means I'm alive." So I want to give you a challenge for this week, and it's something that's good to do all the time, but for this week, especially in light of Thanksgiving, make a list of the negatives in your life. Now, that may not be something you'd anticipate me saying. Say, well, make a list of all the positives because they're going to overcome them. Make a list of the negatives in your life, and next to them, write a blessing that is connected to it or that you have in spite of it, and then focus on that positive. Okay. God is good to us even in the bad times. And the second thing I want to list under this point is God has a good purpose for the bad times. We see that several places in this chapter that yes, He allowed them to go through various things as He led them through the wilderness, but He used it to discipline them. We think of discipline as punishment, but really the root meaning of the word discipline is to train ourselves. Now, when somebody does something wrong, a child or whatever, we have to discipline them. The purpose isn't specifically to punish them. It's to train them to choose to do the right thing the next time. That's the way it should be, okay? Shouldn't just be punishment. And God says He used those bad things they had to go through to discipline them, to train them, to test them, to help them to learn and to grow and to be better people, to be stronger people. And God does the same thing in our lives. God will use the difficulties that we face to draw us closer to Him, to cause us to look to Him to meet our needs and to bring us the best, to help us mature. This chapter explains those tough times. God used them, as He says in verse 16, to do you good in the end. To do you good in the end. That's what He says. He says the end result of all those tough things is to bring about good. And we have that same promise. All through Scripture, there's a number of them. I'm only going to read two of them. But so many promises that the tough times cannot even begin to compare to the good that God wants to bring out of it many times in this life, but for sure in the life to come. James says in chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, "Count it all joy, my brothers," and he's including the sisters there, "when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And it goes on to say other good things that come out of when our faith is tested. Paul said in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And Paul went through some tough stuff. And he says, it's all worth it. It's all worth it because of what God has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. You know, if you look at your own life, almost everything good in your life has probably come out of difficulty and struggle. Much of the good that is in your life may not have been as good or may not even be present if it wasn't for the fact that you went through difficulty and struggle to get there. Whether you're talking about your education, if you got a really good education, you probably didn't just slip into class every day, slip back out, and didn't have to think, study or anything like that. You had to apply yourself. Maybe one subject was easier than others, but if you got a good education, there was a lot of work and difficulty and struggle you had to put into that. If you have a healthy body and are able to do, you know, there is a struggle. There are things that you have to go through, whether it's exercise and diet and saying no to certain things and saying yes to other things that are a struggle. But there's good that comes out of that. If you have a great relationship, some relationships are easier to develop and to enjoy than others. But still, in any relationship between two people, because they're people, if you're going to have a good relationship, there's going to be struggle and difficulty sometimes along the way. Skills and abilities that you have may have come naturally to you, but to increase in them and to do extra good in them, it takes difficulty, struggle, application, all that kind of stuff. Our character, spiritually, again, the best things in life come as a result of making it through difficult times. So don't forget God in the bad times. And the second one is don't forget God in the good times. Don't forget God in the good times. Let's go back to verses 11 to 14. He says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full." This is the good time. When you've eaten and are full, and you've built good houses and you live in them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold is multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You know, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but you know what? It's often in the good times that it's most easy to forget God. That it's most easy to kind of let that relationship just kind of slip and slide and go off to the side. I'll be honest with you. I think that that's why America, over the long period of time of our history, has forgotten God. Because of the prosperity that we as a nation have experienced through much of our history. And the pride and all arrogance and all that kind of stuff that comes from that, like, look what we did, look what I did, and we don't need God anymore because we've got all of our needs. You know, we're not living day to day just to have enough food to stick in our mouths and just trying to stay alive on the frontier and, you know, survive the Wild West and all that kind of stuff, but things are pretty good. Don't forget God in the good times. Two things that go with this also. The first one is this: we've got to guard against pride, independence, and arrogance. When things are going good, if we're not careful, it can be very easy to have that feeling like, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. And God never denies that you had a part to play in that. God works with us to accomplish things. He gives us the gifts, the abilities, the intelligence, the strength to do what we do. And he knows that we put an effort into it, but yet it would be impossible without him. Without the life he's given us, without the abilities, without the intelligence, without the opportunities, without the strength. Verses 17 and 18, he says, "Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, his relationship that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day." It is true that much of the good in our lives comes as a result of our effort. But it's a real danger if we think that it's all because of us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "What do you have that you didn't receive? If you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" James 1:17 says, "Every good gift is from above." Again, yes, as that old spiritual song says, I worked hard for the money. Oh, that's not a spiritual song. We know we work hard for the money. We put a lot of effort in. But again, it's God who gave us the basic abilities, the life, the strength, the intelligence. All of that come as a gift from God. And he's helped us along the way too. So we have to guard against pride and independence and arrogance. And we must guard against unthankfulness, taking God for granted. Again, going back to verse 10. And you shall eat and be full. And what's the right response? You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. When you experience all the goodness, when you sit down this week and think about all the blessings you have in your life, all the wonderful things you enjoy, yes, things are tough sometimes, and maybe they're really tough right now, but there is good, and you focus on that. Remember, it's because of God desiring to work in your life, to help you, to provide for you, to bless you. I think that's why we teach our children to say thank you. At least we should. I remember growing up, and I remember raising our kids, that when somebody did something nice for them, we say, now what do you say? Thank you. Because you don't want them to grow up to be ungrateful, unthankful. You want them to be appreciative. I think of the story in Luke 17, and I'm sure you probably have heard it. If not, you can read it later. You can read it later anyway. But these 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and they were outcast from society because of their physical condition, and they had to live apart from everybody else. And fortunately, they had found each other, because lepers could live with lepers. But they couldn't come into town. They couldn't have any contact with their family. They had to live out on the outskirts. And if somebody got too close and say, unclean, unclean, like, stay away, stay away. And they came and they asked Jesus to heal them. And for whatever reason, Jesus says, go make your way to the priests, who also kind of served as doctors to a degree, and let them see that you've been healed. But he didn't heal them until they were on their way. They weren't healed right at that very moment. He had healed other lepers immediately, but he says, just go on your way. And while they were on their way, all 10 were healed. But many of you know the story. Only one went back to thank Jesus. Does that mean that the others weren't grateful? Oh, I'm sure they were grateful. It's just they weren't thankful. In the sense of going back to thank the one who had made life right for them again. And there's so many ways in our life in which God has given us blessings that maybe we're really, really grateful. But the thing is are we thankful? Have we been guilty of forgetting God in the good times because we don't take the appropriate time to thank him? You say, oh, that sounds kind of narcissistic. God gets upset if we don't thank him. No, God just appreciates that we appreciate him. I mean, how do we feel when we do something really nice for somebody and they just take it and they're glad for it, but they don't ever express anything back to us? It's like, I did it because I loved them. I did it because I wanted to. But boy, it sure would have been nice if they'd have said thank you. That certainly was appropriate. And how much more does God deserve our thanks and our gratefulness? Unfortunately, as we study the history of the Israelites, they often did just the opposite of what God said. They complained during the tough times, and they turned from God during the good times. We've got to be careful not to fall into that same trap. So we get ready to wrap this up. I want to point our eyes back to verses 10 and 11 again, because that's the theme here. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. It's not just a sermon title. It's something that God challenges us with today. Don't forget him. Let me give you a couple of suggestions. I know I've already made a couple of suggestions along the way. I want to challenge you to make a God brought me through list. God brought me through list. Again, making a list of those difficulties. You know, the first time I said this, I said, make a list of all the problems you got in your life right now. And make a note of the good that you have because of it or in spite of it. This is looking back over the past. Make a list of all the things that God has brought you through. Losses, challenges, dangers, trials. And you saw God's hand at work. If not in that, but now looking back, you can see it was there. And what he has done since and the good that he's brought out of that. I want to challenge you to thank God specifically for your abilities. Especially if you have that tendency of like, I've done this on my own. I'm a smart guy. I'm a hard worker. I've worked hard for the, you know, to recognize that, yes, that all may be true, but those are gifts from God. Take time to thank God. God, I thank you for the brain you gave me. God, I thank you for the strength and health you've given me. God, I thank you that you opened the door for that job that was really helpful. I thank you for the education that you put in front of me and you helped me to get through. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And then I encourage you to list specific blessings from the last year. I want to tell you something. There are so many things I'm thankful for. I started making a list, and I was actually going to kind of read some of it off to you, but then I thought, no, I don't want to do that. And the reason why is because I may say something to you like, I am so thankful, and instead you might be thinking, well, I wish I had that, and I don't want your minds going down that way. I've got a long list of things I'm thankful for. And I plan this week to do something I try to do at least once a year around Thanksgiving. And that is, I want to get alone with God, and I want to pray, and I want to do nothing but thank God for the blessings he's brought into my life. I remember one year I sat down to do that, and I tried not to repeat myself, but I went back as far as I could in my memory. And I started thanking God for all the positives, all the good things, all the blessings. And it took me over an hour to just list them all. A lot of them are real little things. You know, there's not that many big things that I could point at, but there's so many. And I encourage you to do something like that. Spend some time. And to the best way you can, share that with your family and friends as you get together with them. I remember we had a family tradition at Thanksgiving time. We'd go to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And our family and my mom's sister's family, and there's a bunch of us, 20-something, I think, people, all gathered together with Grandma and Grandpa. Big, giant, old-fashioned Thanksgiving meal. But when it was all on the table, before we ate it, we went around and everybody said something they were thankful for. That sticks in my mind so much. Take some time with your family. Take some time with your spouse, if you have one, to talk about Thanksgiving. As we wrap this up, I just want to say there may be some of you that are sitting here or you're watching online and you say, that's not the God I know. And maybe the reason that that's not the God you know is because you don't have a relationship with him. All these things I've talked about are ways that God would love to relate with you and to you. And he's not going to make your life perfect. You're never going to have problems again. But he wants to help you through whatever you're going through and will go through. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you guidance in your life to a lifestyle and a way of going through to avoid a lot of junk that may seem good right now, but it's going to lead to destruction and pain and heartache later. And even when you do go through that, he wants to be there to comfort you and strengthen you and help you. And we can have that kind of relationship by turning to Jesus Christ. Jesus, God himself, came to earth and became human, fully God, fully man. And not just to be a good man, to, you know, give us some good teachings to try to live by, to be a good example to try to follow, that's true. But he came knowing that eventually he would die. He didn't deserve it. He never sinned. He lived a life we couldn't live, we can't live, and he died a death he didn't deserve. But in God's plan, a plan that Jesus was fully on board with, he volunteered for, he was willing, he was ready to go. He died so his death would pay the price for our sins, because a price had to be paid. So we can have a relationship with God by turning to God and saying, God, I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I ask you, forgive me of my sins, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, that he took the price. He paid the price. He took my punishment. So forgive me. And now I want to have that relationship with you. And that's how you start a walk with Jesus. Then you just start living for him. He'll give you help to face whatever you're facing. He'll give you help to leave that junk behind. It may not necessarily be easy all the time, but he's going to be with you. All the things we talked about this morning. And if you have not yet done that, you've not yet turned that control of your life over to him, you've not come to him in repentance and then in faith, that's all it is, God, I want to get rid of my sin, and I want to start living for you, and I'm doing it based on what you've done, not what I can do. We would love to have the opportunity to pray with you to see that happen today. Let's all stand together. I know we have a couple of them out of town, but I'm going to invite our elder. We have one elder here today besides me. Our prayer team, others that are prepared and trained for the prayer time to come. And here's what I want us to do. Just like we always do, I'm going to say a prayer. There will be no formal conclusion to the service, but our worship team is going to be entering in with some worship songs. And if you have a need or you would like us to pray with you about a need you're concerned about for somebody else, that's why we're here. If you want to surrender your life to Christ or have an issue with that, we would love to pray with you about that. But other than that, you respond however you feel like God wants you to respond. But a great way to respond today would be just to worship God, to just praise Him, to just thank Him for His goodness. And I would just add this, if you're here and say, I want to do that, but it's really hard because I'm going through a tough time, then take that tough time to God. And if you want us to help you with that, we'd love to pray with you about that. Father God, we love You and we thank You for Your presence in this place. We thank You, Lord, that You always call people to Yourself. And Lord, even when they come to You and they have a relationship with You and they blow it, they mess up, and sometimes we even willfully and deliberately turn our backs on You and walk away, that You never give up on us. We may suffer the consequences, other things happen, but You're always trying to draw us back to Yourself. And I thank You that in the midst of all the difficulty we face, whether we bring it on ourselves or it's because of something somebody else did, or we're just living in this world that's got a lot of mess in it, that You've promised to always be with us. You will never leave us or forsake us, and You will help us through it, and You will bring good out the other side. Even those things that we messed up ourselves, You'll bring good out of it as we walk with You. And God, as we are in this week of Thanksgiving, I pray that You'd help us to be extra mindful of Your goodness. But Lord, may it not stop this week. May it just be an attitude that continues to develop and grow, and it becomes a part of, or an increasing part of, our walk with You. God, You have been so good. For those who may be struggling to see that right now, Lord, open their eyes. Help them to remember the things that You've done that are good. And I pray especially for comfort and strength for those who may be going through really tough times right now, that they would see down the road, whether it's tomorrow, next week, or whatever, Your good hand extended today. Father, I thank You and I praise You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.